Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis of our meditation for this morning is taken from the Old Testament reading, the book of the prophet Habakkuk. The people of Judah had been under the rule of the Assyrians. Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrians, fell to the Babylonians in 612 BC and gave Judah hope of independence under the leadership of a godly king, King Josiah. But Josiah's death in battle with the Egyptians allowed the Egyptians to gain control over God's chosen people. And then the Babylonians came and defeated the Egyptians in the Battle of Carchemish in Syria in 605 BC. A very ungodly, cruel, corrupt, worldly king took Josiah's place. He was King Jehoiakim. And the Babylonians, who had defeated the Egyptians, were now on their way. And in 597 BC, they conquered the city of Jerusalem. And it was during this time that the prophet Habakkuk lived and prophesied. I like Habakkuk. Habakkuk was a gutsy prophet. He didn't mess around with words. And he took his problems, he took his concerns right to the top. He went to God and he challenged him with the tough questions. It's nice the way we read the scriptures in church, but I don't think Habakkuk asked God the questions the way we read them. I think he said, "How long, O Lord? How long must I call for help and you don't listen? Or cry out, violence, violence, but you don't save? Why do you make me look at injustice? And why do you tolerate wrong?" Now Habakkuk is asking age-old questions. Why does evil seem to be rampant in our land? Why does evil seem to go unpunished? And hey, I'm talking to you, God. Why aren't you responding? God does respond to Habakkuk. He says he will punish the evil in Judah by using Babylon as his instrument. But that didn't go over with Habakkuk. He didn't understand that answer God gave him. And guess what? He let God know about it. He asked God the question, how can a just God use a wicked Babylon to punish a righteous people like us? We ask those same questions. On September 11th, a great evil visited our nation. People were horrified, and we shouted, "Violence! Look, violence!" And many went to church. A lot more purchased an American flag. Some people looked to God for answers. Many others looked to less satisfying sources. Our nation engaged in a great debate on radio and television about, hey, what's happening to us? And Oprah Winfrey appoints herself as the high priestess of the nation and invites all to come and participate in some hodgepodge generic God talk as she stands there and nods approvingly. Brian Gumbel interviews Billy Graham's daughter. And Brian Gumbel, I gotta give it to him, in a Habakkuk moment, asked, why didn't God stop this or do something about it? And Billy Graham's daughter said, well, For years, we've told God we don't want him in our schools. For years, we've told him we don't want him in our government. We told him we don't want him in our finances. God was being a perfect gentleman. He was doing just what we asked him not to do. We need to make up our mind. Do we want God in or not? We just can't ask for him when disaster strikes. Mr. Gumbel sat silent. But my friends, the real answer to all of these questions lies in the second part of the text read for this morning. In Habakkuk 2, verse 3, it says, "For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false." The answer itself says that it can be understood fully only from the vantage point of the end, the goal, the conclusion of God's dealing with humanity. And I ask you, how has God dealt with us? He has dealt with us with violence. Yes, violence. Violence, I say. For it was violence that was visited upon that one man. It was violence, the violence of the soldiers beating his body and shoving a crown of thorns upon his head. The violence that nailed him to the tree. The violence that tore him from his father's loving arms. The violence that condemned him to the pains of hell. The violence that ended his physical life was the violence that should have been experienced by us all. But it was not to be. And so we sit here today and we look at our world and we too are like Habakkuk and we are tempted to say, "Hey, why doesn't God do something about this?" And the answer is, he already has. And he invites you this very day to participate in the body and blood of his Son. He invites you to know that he cares for you and he loves you eternally. He will never leave you nor forsake you. In the third chapter is a prayer that Habakkuk prays. And near the end of his prayer, Habakkuk says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior." Come to his table. Rejoice in his presence and find resolution to the violence. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.